Amen. Thank you, Frank. And we want to welcome all those at home. I just, you know, we don't take you for granted. We're a little jealous of you, though. I mean, I don't know if you know it, but we can see you through our camera. No, we really can't. You can see you in your pajamas there with your coffee. But we're just grateful you joined us, or if you joined us at another time, we thank you. And I just want to thank you, too, for your giving, because many of you have mailed gifts into us, and we're just amazed how God is meeting our needs, and we want to thank you for your participation, and want you to know we love you, and we're looking forward to you being back with us real soon. Amen, church? Amen? You say, are you missing folks? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, just for the folks here, I got only two left, only two. If you were here Ash Wednesday, you got your journal, and we got our little book called The Easter Code, which gives you a word every day leading up to Easter, and I have two left. If there's somebody here today that didn't get one, now you're going to be joining us about a week late or so, but you can pick up. And every morning when I meet somebody who's on the code, I always say, what's the word for today? And I know if you've looked at it, we do it, Connie and I. So she's getting me now. She makes sure it's done before she sees me in the morning, gives me the code word every day. So you can do that too. So if you're here today, I'm going to put these up here in the front row. Connie's going to have them. When you come through for communion, first two people, you can have these, take this with you and enjoy it. Amen. There's even a paper in there on some creative ways to do some fasting during this Lent time. So I hope you can be part of that. Well, as Frank said, we're continuing on talking about game changers. Who's interested in a big game changer today in your life? How's the game been going for you? You know, we come back together here. This is like meeting in the locker room, isn't it? This is the huddle where we get together, encourage one another. So I don't know how the game's going for you, but we're going to talk about something today that everybody in this room is going to need. It's the need for endurance, kingdom endurance. I guess maybe we need to define the word before we begin. So let's look in Webster Dictionary. Here's what Webster Dictionary says this word means. The ability to withstand hardship or adversity, especially the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. Anybody identify with that? Anybody say, you know, I think I need that. I think they're describing my life, right? How to be able to go through a stressful, prolonged. You know, we're not talking about a sprint here, are we? Endurance isn't for running 50 yards. Endurance is for cross country, right? Endurance is for going the long distance, the long haul. And so we want to consider this word today. And as I was thinking about it, I thought about the military. And we were watching a little clip the other day of this Navy SEALs. Man, what they got to do to get ready, right? You know what they're doing? They're developing endurance in these brothers, just like this picture up here when I see it. Why would you put somebody through that? It's to develop endurance. I mean, they crawl through the mud under barbed wire. They shoot rounds of ammunition over their head. Why? Just for the fun of it? No, they're getting them ready, aren't they? Because there's something coming their way in the future. And if there's one thing you need, it's going to be endurance. Well, I think it's true for the kingdom of God, too, that we need endurance. In fact, the writer of Hebrews 10 said this to us. We'll put it on the screen for you. Now, you got to get the context before you look at these words. The verses just before it, what was he talking about? Well, these were Jewish believers, and they'd been through some tough times. And they were experiencing and expressing endurance in their lives. In fact, before he said these words are not on the screen. He says, I want you to recall the former days. And I want you to look back in the rearview mirror. Remember when you were illuminated and you endured a great struggle with suffering? There's that word. You endured a prolonged, stressful time. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both of reproaches and tribulations, and those who were, and you were friends with others who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully you accepted the plundering of your stuff. Because you knew that you had a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Boy, this word keeps coming up. Must be important. It's so important. Listen to these words. For he said, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. I like the way they put it. So, now that you know the backdrop. So, do not throw away this confidence and trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Here it is. And I like the way the NLT puts it. In my New King James Version, it just has the word endurance. But in the NLT, it says, patient endurance. Patient endurance is what you need now. Do you know anyone who has endurance that isn't patient? You know, they're cousins. They hold hands together. When one's present, probably the other one will be present too, right? He says, so you need this patient endurance. It's what you need when? Right now. He says, you need this so that you will continue to do God's will, and then you will receive all that God has promised. Let's keep reading. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones, they will live by faith. And I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Or your translation may say, draws back. But we are not like those who turn away or draw back from God. No, we're not like that. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Now, this Greek word for endurance is the same Greek word for patience. So that's why they go together. And here's the definition of the word. It actually break it down in two parts. It literally means under, remain, or we would reverse those and say to remain under. So to walk in endurance means you're remaining under. Under what? Under pressure, under difficult times. In fact, I have a sign in my office at home, and the definition I use is remain under without being crushed. But see, the tendency we have, isn't it? We don't think endurance. What do we think? We think escape. And when we're under pressure, I'm guilty too. My prayer is going to sound like this. Lord, get this off of me. But what we don't understand is God is preparing us. He's wanting to develop endurance in us. Because here's the reality. Endurance is not a gift. It's not a gift. It's not. You say, well, God, would you give me endurance? No, but I'll tell you what I will do. I'll develop it in you. I'll develop endurance in you. Well, what we're going to do today is look at four paths. I know your insert says three, but I couldn't help it. I tried to put two into one. I couldn't do it. I got to split them out. So you're going to have to, I got to print it out three, but you're going to have to write the fourth one in off to the side, okay? We're going to look at four paths that lead to kingdom endurance. And I'm just going to, not on the screen, I'm just going to read this to you from my Bible, just these few verses, and then we're going to look at them, take them apart piece by piece, and come up with the four paths, okay? Here's this wonderful scripture. We all know it. Therefore what? Chapter 11. What's chapter 11? It's the chapter of faith. It's the hall of faith, the hall of fame. It's the hall of faith. And we have great stories in there of people, Abraham and Noah, all these who by faith lived their lives. And this whole chapter lists them, and he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. And he tells all these stories and all these people. He even talks about people who by faith were sawn in two. Who by faith gave their lives. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Even Jesus needed endurance. He endured it, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He remained under that cross without being crushed. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Are you ready? Let's write down the first one. Ready? Here's the first path that will help you go to a place of endurance. Surround yourself with the right people. Surround yourself with the right people. Did you hear it in the scripture I just read? We're going to put it up on the screen from the NLT. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, as I envisioned that, I was thinking, and with our theme, the difference. How many remember the book we looked at? I think it was it a couple years ago. Guys, we looked at it. Are you a fan or a follower? Remember that book? Wasn't that great? And we tried to look at, what am I a fan of Jesus or am I a follower of Jesus? And I thought about that when I read this scripture. I thought, you know, he's talking about witnesses. What kind of witnesses? People who have played the game. These witnesses are people, you know, when somebody gives a witness, what are they saying? They're going to tell you a story, aren't they? They're going to tell you about their experience. He said, these aren't spectators. These are witnesses. These are witnesses. What's the difference between a witness, a player, and a spectator or a fan? Well, one thing is, if you've ever been to a game, to get into the stadium, what do you got to do? Yeah, buy a ticket, right? So for the price of a ticket, I started to say a small price, but not always, for a chunk of change, you can have a seat into the game. Isn't that great? But here's the better way, and it doesn't cost you a dime. All you need is a remote control and a big screen TV. Is that right? And you can punch that thing, and you can watch that game and be a spectator. Here's my concern right now about what's going on in our country. I think the church is becoming spectators. And I think we might even be making it easy for folks to do that. And just to sit with a clicker. And not really be a part, just be an observer, a fan. Well, what's the difference in these people? And why should I surround myself with witnesses more than surrounding myself with fans? Well, one of the things is I notice as a fan myself, I have opinions. Do you, when you're watching the game? How many of you yell at the refs? How many of you think you could play that game better? You know why? Because they make it look so easy. They make it look so easy, don't they? It's really not easy, but they make it look that way. And so we watch it enough, and we think, well, I could do that. I could do that game. And we become very critical, but a witness doesn't do that. The guy on the field, he doesn't do that, does he? He's got skin in the game, doesn't he? It's not just about it. Listen, you got to understand this, because there are always more spectators than players. Always. Why? Because it's easier to be a spectator. So much easier. Man, anybody can click, click. But hey, suit up and get on the field. Not so easy, is it? Listen, we need to be careful that we don't receive counsel from the wrong people. Some of you are taking counsel from spectators instead of witnesses. I want to listen to those who've been in the game. I want to listen to those who've been knocked around a little bit. I want to listen to those who are walking on crutches, maybe, like Adam down here. Them little boys are tough to coach, aren't they? Yes, sirree, glory to God. I want to listen to somebody who walks with a little limp. How'd you get that, playing the game? I don't want to talk to somebody who just sits in front of a grease board and marks out plans and talks about the theory of the game. I want to talk to somebody who's been there. That's a witness, isn't it? A fan will discourage you. A fan will tell you, you need to just throw in the towel. But I'll tell you, a witness, a player, you know what they're going to say? Here's what they're going to say. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. That's endurance talk, isn't it? Come on, I've been there. I know you can do it. Just keep going. Don't give up. Isn't that what the writer's saying? Don't give up. Just keep on going, right? And that's what a witness is going to do. And that's why you need to surround yourself with people who are in the game. And be careful, because there's going to be a lot of criticism, a lot of people saying, a lot of opinions out there about different things. Be careful that you surround yourself with the right people. Here's number two. You ready? Strip off unnecessary weights and sin. Did you hear that in the scripture? Let's look at it again. He says, verse 1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Now, here's what's so fascinating about this. When you read that, and I think some of your translations will say lay aside, but it really has the connotation of ripping off. Remember, we talked about this before, like your clothes are on fire. But actually, for those who are hearing this in that day and age, you know, track was already in existence. That was part of sports of that day. Long distance running was not uncommon. But here's the part that we're not used to. They ran naked. Get that picture out of your mind. But you know, they would show up in robes, and before they ran, they would strip off. And they'd run. Why? Because they didn't want any weight. They didn't want anything to hinder them. Can you imagine that? Say, man, look away. We were driving down the road the other day. My wife goes, "Why? There's a lady over there with no clothes on." And I went, "Where?" She goes, "I was just testing you." I learned my lesson. Eyes straight ahead, right? Oh, yeah, there's a lady over there. Oh, that's too bad. But can you imagine this, though? What was the reason? Because they were serious about this event, and they wanted to get rid of every weight, any kind of hindrance at all. I mean, we try to swim down. We get the best shoes, the lightest shoes, the lightest clothes, but they went to the extreme, didn't they? But notice something else about this verse. Let us strip off every weight. This is very important. This is your race. Now, some of us are asking God to do this, and God's asking you to do it. I mean, think about that. He's saying you have a part. Remember the three parts: God's part, my part, other people's part, right? Well, in this part, he says you need to strip off these weights and these sins that trip us up so easily. You have a part in this. I want you to, we're oftentimes asking God for this great miracle in our lives, and God's saying, well, I'd be happy to help you out, but you need to do this. You need to see this and respond to it. Is that right? Have you ever asked God to heal you of a backache? And the Lord's saying, well, you just need to stop eating all those donuts, right? Well, aren't we asking God for this, to do this for us? And God's saying, but you, it's not that God won't, but he says, I need you to do this. You're asking God for a financial miracle, but really you need to manage your money a little better, all right? You have a part to play in this. God will still give you those types of things, but there's his part and there's our part and there's other people's part. And what are these weights anyway? I mean, these guys are running with nothing. What kind of weights do we have in our life? Well, I think these could be good things. They could be positive things, not always negative. I think it could be a burden that you carry, maybe for someone else. That can be a weight. I think watching the news today will weight you down. I've watched some of you slow down because you're taking in too much of this weight around us. Not saying it's not true even. But why are you weighting yourself down like that? God doesn't want, it'll hinder you in your race. The cares of the world, the news, you know, maybe even family things, you know. Some of you have idols in your life. I do. Things, you know, like, wow, I wouldn't want to do away with this. I wouldn't want to let this go or that go. We need to run light if we're going to have endurance. 1 Peter 5:7, it's not on the screen. But Peter said this, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. I guarantee you that the enemy's focus right now, especially in the day we're living in as a church, he wants to weigh you down with cares of the world. He wants you to be all consumed and all the bad things are happening around us and to our country. He wants to slow you down. He doesn't want you to have endurance, even though the writer of Hebrews says you got it, you need it. You need this endurance. Well, don't you think the enemy knows you need it? Because he knows what's coming. God knows what's coming. Just like those soldiers. They're getting them ready. They're going to have endurance. Connie and I, we're learning endurance at the gym. You know, Connie woke up early. You know, I don't know about your house, but if my wife wakes up, I wake up. Now, if I wake up, she'll sleep sound. But if she wakes up, I don't know what it is. You know, if she gets out of the bed, I know it. And so the other morning, 3:55 was the time, I know, because the light was flashing on the little clock, right? 3:55. And my first response was, you okay, honey? Yep. I'm just going to step into the restroom here, okay? But she hadn't come back. Well, I had to get up. I went down to the living room. She's sitting on the couch. I sat down with her. She said, you don't have to get up. I said, oh, sorry. You're up, I'm up, you know. So we're sitting there for a while, and I said, well, we need to do something constructive. Like what? Let's go to the gym. And she went. She got up. We got our sweats on. Hey, I found out something about Planet Fitness at 4:30 in the morning. No one's there. It's great because people are intelligent and they're staying home getting sleep, right? But you know, so we noticed something. We're going through this little circuit. You ever do the circuit? You know, where you're... I noticed that we're able to use more weights now. Why is that? Because we're developing endurance, right? We're able to do more. And that's what God's doing with us too, isn't that right? So we need to humble ourselves and just cast that weight onto the Lord. Because here's the reality. If you exalt yourself, God's going to humble you. But if you humble yourself, God's going to exalt you. That's how it works in the kingdom, right? How about unforgiveness? Is that a weight in your life? You carry that. Why does God want you to forgive? See, it's just not fair. It's not fair that God wants me to forgive everybody. I mean, it's just not right what they did to me and these wounds that I care. Listen, it'll slow you down. There's a reason God wants you to forgive as he's forgiven, because he wants you to have endurance. He wants you to be able to push through. He wants you to be able to finish the race strong. That's why it's about you. You got your focus on the person who has offended you instead of what God's wanting to do in your life. He's wanting to free you up. He's wanting to change your mind about things. Why? So you can have endurance and you can run. Colossians 3:13, not on the screen, but you know it, right? Forgiving one another. Here it is. If anyone has a complaint against any other. I put a little smiley face by that in my Bible. I went, yeah? Like every day. Like how often does that happen in your life? You got any complaint? That sounds like a spectator. Somebody's a spectator complaining about everything and everything. You know, we all got issues, don't we? I mean, if somebody wanted to, they could pick you apart and find everything that's wrong. But here's what Colossians says. He says, listen, we need to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Yes, so as Christ has forgiven you, you also must do. Not fair. Just not fair. It's not about fair. It's about you running light. It's about getting rid of all those weights in your life, those things. Some of you got things, you've been carrying them around for years, and they're getting heavier all the time. And God's wanting you to jettison that stuff. He's wanting you to strip off. He's wanting you to run like these early runners did. What is it that's weighting us down? What is it that's tripping us up? What is it that's keeping you from endurance? I don't know if any of you have ever read the book, Under the Shadow of the Almighty. Have you ever read that? You know, Elizabeth Elliot. You know who Elizabeth Elliot is? Amazing story. Amazing story. If you get a chance to pick up the book, read it. Because in this book, she tells a love story about her and how her husband met. And they met in school. And he was wanting to be a missionary, and she was wanting to be a missionary. And so they fell in love. Only one problem. They felt like they didn't want their relationship to be a weight to their calling. And so they would meet together and pray together. It was a real burden for them that, you know, I love you and you love me, but we can't let this get in the way of God's calling on our life. And so they were able to work through that. And if you know the story, her husband was one of the men on the beaches in Ecuador who were speared to death by natives, him and three others. An unreached people group they were trying to reach. They knew they were savages. They would kill people. They knew that already. And a lot of people thought they were foolish for going. But they went. They would fly over in advance and drop gifts. And what's really amazing about the story, though, the two men who speared her husband to death are now her friends. And I watched a tape of them being interviewed the other day. They got the big earlobe thing, you know. They misunderstood. They thought these men were cannibals. They took their life. But out of the blood that was spilled on that beach, there's a great work today. Here's what Elizabeth said in her book. This is endurance talk. She said, nothing is worth living for unless it's worth dying for. If you're living for something that's not worth dying for, that's a weight. And her husband, Jim, both agreed to this before going to the mission field, not knowing how things were going to end. They said, we must go. It is God's calling upon our life. We must go. But there is nothing that says we must come back. Man, that's endurance talk. These people are not pulling back. They are serious about this. And they wanted to get rid of every weight in their life. They wanted to get rid of every hindrance. They wanted to live pure before the Lord and not get tripped up. They wanted to walk in endurance. Well, here's number three. Did you see it in the text? We need to focus on your path and resist comparison. Look at it. Verse 1. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You could easily put in there before you, before me. Here's the reality. God has a race mapped out just for you. This is very personal. This is very personal. And you need to keep your eyes on the path, all right? Because it's true, isn't it? Those of you who run, you know, if you take your eyes off of the path and you start looking at other runners, what's going to happen? You're going to lose your stride, aren't you? It doesn't take much. It only takes a few seconds to look away, and it can affect how you run. So we need to look at the path that God has put before us. Now, how many of you have ever thought to yourself, you know what? You start looking at other people's path, and you say, you know, they got it so much easier than me. Why do I have the hard path? What's with this? It's not fair. It's not fair that I have this hard path, but this brother or sister over here, their path seems so much easier. Be careful. Remember, Peter fell into this trap, didn't he? You know the story, right? In John 21, Peter denied Christ, right? Bad deal. I mean, how could he do that? And then he meets Jesus on the beach, remember? And Jesus pulls him aside in a personal conversation. Peter, come over here. I want to chat with you. And I know Peter was a little nervous. Oh, we haven't talked since that night, you know. And remember, in the scripture, it says Jesus looked at him, and he left in great sorrow. So he knew Jesus knew, and he felt bad about it, maybe felt some shame about it. And Jesus restores him that day and asks him, do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he tells him, okay, here's what you're going to do. If you love me, you're going to feed my sheep. You're going to get into the game. You're going to play the game. And then he asks him, do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. Okay, well, feed my lambs. Okay, well, do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Why do you keep asking me this? Because Jesus wanted him in the game. And he knew what it was going to take. And then he tells him, unexpectedly, how he's going to die. He says, Peter, they're going to bind your hands, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. They're going to lead you against your will. They're going to take your life. And then he says, follow me. Been a little easier to follow if you hadn't said that, Lord. It's going to require some endurance, isn't it? Because you're going to go through some tough times. And you're going to need patience, endurance, and faith. And so here he is. He's telling him how. And what does Peter do? Probably what you do. He looked around and he saw John. And he goes, what about him, Lord? What about him? And what did Jesus say to him? What is that to you? He as good as said, it's none of your business. Focus here, Peter, your path. It's your path that I've established for you. I want you to walk it. Even though it's different than others, this is the path. And I want you to know that path has been established long before you ever knew about it. Because when you were being formed in your mother's womb, the book of your life was being written into. I mean, this is a mind blower to me, but God's already been to the end of your race. He knows what you're going to need. He knows the kind of endurance you're going to need. And so that's why he's trying to develop in you this endurance. He's letting you go through situations. Why? So you can have endurance. It's not a gift. It's something he wants to develop here for the days that are ahead. And anything you're going through right now, I want you to receive it that way. God, this is an opportunity to develop endurance in my life. Would you help me do that? And here's number four. This is how you're going to do it, all right? He says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at verse 2, chapter 12. And do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Here's the question today. If you're going to walk in endurance, you got to answer this question. What are you looking at? Because here's the reality. The enemy understands this principle. He's trying to get you to look at everything but what you're supposed to be looking at. He wants you to think about the current events of our day. Will that discourage you? Will that take your endurance away? Will that slow you down? How many of you, you're just consumed by the events of the day? The news, as we know it. It's all about the eyeballs. It's all about where you're looking. Because listen to me. Where you look is where you're going to go.
That's true.
It's just like driving. I've had this experience. My wife, I'm glad she's with me to protect all the rest of you. But when I'm driving in the car, you know, if I look away, what happens to the steering wheel when I look? Even though you're not intending to do it, your hand will go where your eyes go. Is that true? Have you ever adjusted your radio and looked up? Oh, because as you were leaning over to adjust that radio, your car went over too.
Yeah.
Don't even have to get into cell phones. Glory to God. Sometimes it looks like we're all drunk out there, doesn't it? The way we're... Where you look is where you will go. So the question is, what are we looking at? What are we looking at? We need to look unto Jesus. We need to look what it says in verse 3. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary, and you won't give up. That's endurance talk, isn't it? Anybody here this morning a little weary? Say, man, I am tired. I'm exhausted. Anybody here ever thought about giving up? Has anybody here ever given up besides me? I've thrown that towel many times. In fact, I wish I could go back and pick up some of those towels. But that's not the way you live your life. What you do get to do, though, is right now decide, I'm not drawn back.
Amen.
I'm not drawn back. I'm pushing in strong. You might feel like this next picture, one of my favorite pictures I have in my office. You might feel like this little frog. You ever feel that way? You feel like the world is swallowing you up. That's right. I mean, you're face first going down that bird's throat. I want you to know something. When that's happening, don't give up. You just choke that bird. Just choke him. And when the world's trying to take you down, just grab it by the throat and squeeze it. I'm telling you, it's not over with yet. You need endurance. You need endurance. And I like to look at that frog every day and just remind myself. You know, 'cause some days I feel like it. Man, I'm going down. Don't you believe a word of it. Because that's the way the early believers were. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to have endurance. He wants you to be weak. And when all those things are coming your way, and those difficulties and unfulfilled expectations and disappointments in your life, they will build endurance in you if you'll let it. 5 months ago, I shared this story with you about Cliff Young. You remember this story? This is great. This is a potato farmer, a 63-year-old man in Australia, Down Under. Yeah, Australia. They had what they call a multi-marathon. And this was a farm. This is a farm boy, and he lived on the farm, and they had 2,000 acres and 2,000 sheep. And if you know the story, they were poor, so they didn't have tractors and they didn't have horses. And so he was the fourth child, and he had to go out sometimes for days at a time and physically herd the sheep, just him. He was like a sheepdog. And the story he tells that there were days when he ran for days at a time, taking care of these animals. Well, the opportunity came one day to participate in this marathon. It was in 1983. He was 61 years old. And it was called the Westfield Sydney to Melbourne Ultra Marathon. 544 miles. How long will it take you to run 544 miles? Well, they estimate it'd take up to 7 days to run that. And so Cliff, they called him Cliffy, Cliff shows up to participate in the race. And how's he dressed? He's dressed in coveralls, and he's got what they call mud boots on, right? And he didn't have any teeth because he had false teeth. And he said he didn't like to run with his false teeth because they rattled. So he took them off. Is he laying aside all his weights? He wants to run, right? But he's got these boots on, and they're going, have you ever run in a marathon before? No, sir, but I've chased a lot of sheep. Yeah, but this is different, and it's a lot of miles and a lot of days. He said, no, I want to do it. And so he arrived to compete. Well, they couldn't turn him around. He paid his entrance fee. He got his number. Number 5 was his number, and the race began. And the gun sounded, and off they went. It was just like everybody thought. The first day, they left that boy in the dust, let me tell you. They were so far ahead of him. There's only one thing. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. Scott didn't know. He didn't know. Cliff didn't know that you're supposed to stop every night and sleep for 6 hours. He didn't know that. And so in the night, when everybody's sleeping, Cliff, they call it the Joan Shuffle. And during the night, he shuffled right by him. And he kept going. He kept going. He never stopped. For 5 days. For 5 days, 15 hours and 4 minutes, he never stopped. Is that endurance? Where did he get that endurance? It was developed in him. On the farm, wasn't it? He didn't just get a gift for it. He developed it over time. Here's the cool part. He finished 9 hours before the fastest runner. And these were professional runners. Some of them held world records. And Cliff beat them all. But the fun part of the story is that every one of those runners beat all previous records. So they were all running. Nobody was having a bad day. And Cliff just sneaked by. No, they were all running good. And another thing Cliff didn't know, he didn't know there was a cash prize at the end. So in this next picture, you'll see him at the stadium, you know. Here he is in his victory stance. And they gave him $10,000, which in that day be equal to about $35,000 a day. He didn't know he was going to get a cash prize. You know what he did? He said, well, you know. He said, all them other guys worked just as hard as I did. So I'd like to just divide that money up between them. And he gave the money away to all the other runners. Isn't that something? Well, a reporter came up to him at the end and said, Mr. Young, tell us your secret. And this is a quote. He looked in the camera. He said, I can't get that Australian accent. If Philip was here, he could do it, right? He says, well, love, I just didn't stop. Well, love, I just didn't stop. We're talking endurance, aren't we? In fact, from that race, in fact, now the race is named after him, some of these professional runners, they began to study his technique, and they came up with the Jones Shuffle. And runners today, long-distance runners, use the Jones Shuffle. And you know what they said? The reason they do? I'm going to quote it to you. It says, we discovered that the Jones Shuffle conserves energy and strengthens endurance. What is the Jones? It's as steady as you go. Don't stop. Keep on going. See, what we're thinking is, we got to pour on the juice. And no, it's steady. Steady persistence. That's what endurance is. And that's the way I want to live my life. Amen? I want that endurance. My wife and I were watching a Discover Channel, I think it was last year. I was intrigued by this story about these climbers that had climbed a mountain and had passed away in a snowstorm. And they've been trying to find their bodies for years. And so they now with technology, they could fly over the mountain, bingo. They found these two climbers. And they're buried in the snow. And so the family would like to retrieve their remains, right? And so they set out on this expedition to recover these bodies. And when they got up there, they found out it was just too treacherous. And so talking with the family, said, listen, we want you just to bury them on the mountain. Don't bring them back down. And so that's what they did. And to this day, there is a monument there by their bodies, and it just simply says this. And I want this on my tombstone. They died climbing. That's all it says. I want that on my tombstone. He died climbing. I want on my tombstone. He just didn't stop. We got all this thinking today. Well, we think, you know, it's our culture, you know, retirement and all this stuff. Man, I was telling Connie, I got so fired up preparing this sermon. I said, I'm not wanting to slow down. I'm wanting to speed up. I don't want to stop. I want to keep going. And that's what God's calling us to, isn't it? And so we go back to that scripture in Hebrews. He says, don't pull back. Don't give up. Don't throw off your confidence. If anything, turn up the gas a little bit. When, in fact, somebody told me in the prayer room, who was it? Brad, maybe. He said that one of the problems with runners is when they start getting close to the finish line, they get distracted and they slow down. because they're looking at other runners, right? And somebody will come right by them. He said, if anything, you need to turn it up a little bit as you're coming in that home stretch. And you know the story I was telling this morning. When, believe it or not, I used to run a little bit, a little thinner, a little younger, but I used to run from Valley Center down to 53rd Street, run there and back. It's like 6 miles, you know. And I enlisted my daughter on a bicycle to come behind me. And I said, every time my pace slows down, I want you to hit me with your bike. And she's, Dad, I couldn't do that. We didn't take long. Yes, she could. She could do that. She could even enjoy it a little bit. Let me tell you, after a while, you know, poof. Hey, I said, I didn't slow down. Yes, you did. Oh, you're taking advantage, right? But what a motivation. It developed endurance. And pretty soon you could do it. But you got to develop it. So here's my word to you today. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep climbing. And when things are happening to you in your path, know, and maybe your prayer needs to be not, Lord, remove me out from underneath this, because that's how we pray. Remember, the definition is to remain under without being crushed. Instead of saying, Lord, get this off me, say, Lord, would you please develop endurance in me? Would you be bold enough to pray that prayer today? Because we're going to come to the table and we're going to reflect back on that reality of looking unto Jesus. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Can you think about it? Then you won't become weary and you won't give up. This is the power of endurance. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are, God is developing this in you right now. And I'm committing to you as your pastor. I'm going to keep on climbing. And I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to speed up. And I'm not going to stop. If anything, we might pick up the pace just a little bit. Can you come? Don't be discouraged. I know there's weird stuff going on right now. I know. But listen, you're going to need this. You're going to need this endurance. And so we're going to come to the table of endurance. That's what this is. Jesus demonstrated. Isn't that what he said? For the joy set before him, He endured the cross. He did it. He modeled it for us. So I'm not looking anywhere else. I'm looking to him. And I'm going to pick up my pace a little bit. I challenge you to come to the table this morning with this commitment that I'm going to run the race with endurance. And I'm going to, instead of being a spectator, I'm going to get on the field and I'm going to play this game with my whole heart. Would you commit to that today? Father, as we prepare our hearts to come to this table, even at home, others will be joining us. I pray, Father, as they take the bread and cup, that they can make this commitment with us, that we're not going to be spectators. We're going to be witnesses. We're not going to be fans. We're going to be players. And Lord, even though the game sometimes gets a little hard, a little difficult, I believe we can press on and take a hold of the spirit of patience and endurance. And you're building in us something for the future. And I pray we can cooperate with that this morning. As we come to this table, Lord, we ask you to develop this endurance in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to come down the center aisle this morning, make your way to a side table, take the cup and the bread, return to your seat. Those at home will be getting their bread and their cup, and they'll join us too, and we'll take it all together. God bless you as you come. I've been watching lately and considering my own heart, and I sense as people are looking at the world around us, they're discouraged. They think, as they look at our country, they think, oh no, what's happening? And if you're not careful, I even sense people pulling back. If you're going to bail out now, you're never going to make it in the days ahead. This is nothing. If you were here to hear Aaron last week, he said something. I don't know if you caught it, but I wrote it in my notes. He was talking about the Wycliffe translators, right, in Asia. And they were working on a New Testament. Do you remember that story? And then the government came down with orders and they shut everything down. They went house to house to make sure you were in your home. And if you weren't there, they want to know where. You, in that country, you could go to jail. Your family could go to jail. Did you catch what he said? He said they talked among themselves because they were so close to finishing the New Testament. And they decided it was more important. It was more important. And I wrote in my notes last Sunday to myself a question. What is more important than my safety? Because here's my concern. We have raised the bar so high that safety has become premier. It's safety is everything. And we become self-absorbed. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm not saying we should do foolish things either, but sometimes it'll look foolish to the world. You got to decide what's most important. And I just wrote that. What is more important? And I thought about Elizabeth Elliot. What was more important to them? Why would he go and die on a beach in Ecuador, speared to death at a young age, such promise? Why would somebody do that? Because safety is not the issue. And my concern is that we raise that bar so high that it becomes the premier goal. And the reality is the days ahead may put you at risk. I don't know if you know that or not. It could happen. Remember, Aaron said that America has never experienced persecution, and it's true. We've had it pretty good, haven't we? But I wonder in the future, I wonder if God might not be getting us ready. And that he's saying to us, you're going to need endurance. Because things are going to change in the future, and it may get difficult. It may cost you something. The parable we read off camera, how much would you be willing to pay? In the days ahead, we're going to need endurance, we're going to need faith, we're going to need patience, we're going to need long-suffering, we're going to need all those things. And somebody said, well, you know, I heard a mother say this to her child, kind of complain about how bad things is and how bad things are and if Jesus really loves them. And her statement was, Jesus loves you, but life is hard. Those two have no equation. You know, we think, well, then if Jesus loves me, life shouldn't be hard. Oh, really? You got to go back and read these scriptures again. Because it was based in that time. Go back and read Hebrews 11. Go back and read Hebrews 11, Hebrews 10. Go back and read those again and ask yourself the question, what was most important to them? Was there safety? Here's the reality. In Revelations, it says that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. Oh, there's a witness. And they didn't value their life unto death. That's the kind of endurance we may be called upon in the future. So I'm not freaking you out or anything. I'm just saying, hey, I think God's getting us ready for that. And use your time wisely for God to build that into, not to go run and hide somewhere. I always chuckle when I hear people say that. Like, God's not calling you to hide in a bunker waiting for the rapture bus to come. Come on. That's not God's calling on your life. He's calling you into the front lines. And that's what's going on right now. He's getting us ready for that. Amen? So we're going to take this cup and bread. And what are we going to do? We're going to do exactly what we said today. We're going to look unto Jesus. We're going to focus on him and what he did. And that way, when we consider this sacrifice, we will not become weary and give up. Amen? You ready to draw strength from this today? Father, as we receive this cup and bread, we're grateful for the sacrifice of your Son, who came and endured the cross and despised the shame for the joy that was set before him. Lord, we're going to follow in his steps. And I pray, Lord, that you'll prepare us for the days ahead, and that we will be able to stand with endurance whatever's coming, whatever's happening around us. It will be our opportunity. And as Aaron reminded us last week, for those who desire to live godly, they will suffer persecution. They will. And we may. And we will need endurance. Thank you for making this possible. In Jesus' name. Lord, would you stand with me, please? I want to pray a blessing over you before you leave. I also want to give you an invitation. If you need some encouragement today, that's why we gather together. Again, Hebrews. Don't forsake the gathering together as the habit of some, especially as you see the day approaching, that we might encourage one another. That's why we gather. It's the purpose. And it actually helps develop endurance in us, I think. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today, maybe you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer. we would like to do that. Or if you want to meet this week in here at the office or in your home, wherever, we will come to, we want to come together and we want to pray over your situation. And I don't know, which one of these four paths do you need to circle today? Remember, we always circle one? Which one? Which one? Is it the people around you? Is that the one? Is it the stripping off part? Is that the one? Is it the comparison one? You think your path is not fair? Is that the one? Or is it keeping your eyes on Jesus? Is that the one? Or maybe you're like me, when I got done, I circled the whole cotton picking page, okay? I was like, God, I need all this in my life. I want to encourage you today. I want you to make that commitment as we leave here today. Would you commit with me? Hey, we're going to run with endurance, and you're going to celebrate what God is doing in our lives in this situation, all right? Don't be down, Kirk. Don't be discouraged. Just do the shuffle and don't quit. Amen? Father, we receive this word today. I receive it in my life. If no one else heard it, I heard it. And I know what you did in my heart this week, and I just want to turn up the steam a little bit, Lord. I thank you for speaking to my heart. I pray it be true for our congregation as well, and that these times will be looked at totally different than we have in the past. And we stop focusing on things that are weighty, that are weights, and Lord, that we get rid of the sins that are tripping us up. Lord, you called us to do that, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it for one purpose, and that's to run with endurance. Would you help us do that? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You.